The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 500 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows for you every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. Keep those five-star reviews coming there. We love to see that. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at TheSportsRPT. That's a great way to interact with the show. Again, I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Week 15 in the NFL gave us New England at Pittsburgh. This did not disappoint. Instant classic. We had some wacky games this weekend, and we'll cover it all. But I do want to touch on the fact that this is indeed episode number 500 of the Sports Report podcast. Pretty cool. Started this back in 2012. And right off the bat, I want to thank my buddy Clayton and Jim. Clayton, who I've known since high school, presented me with this opportunity, and I'm very grateful for that. It's been a lot of fun. I'm a sports junkie. That's what I watch about 23 hours a day. Every now and then I'll binge watch a show like a Game of Thrones or Sons of Anarchy, House of Cards, Better Call Saul, something like that. But I am dialed in to the world of sports. So I love talking about it and I enjoy doing this show. And Jim does a great job editing the show each and every week, and then he's able to post it on iTunes and GrizzlyProductions.tv, which is where you can check it out and listen to all the previous shows as well. I am anything but tech savvy, so Jim is a big, big help in that area. He is the editing guru here on the Sports Report podcast. So thanks again to both Clayton and Jim. I appreciate it. And I did receive some emails and text messages from friends and others saying congratulations. And I really wasn't sure how to respond. I guess in the world of podcasting that 500 episodes is a big deal. I really don't know, to be honest. I'm proud of the fact that for more than 5 years, we've been able to keep this thing rolling and putting out what I consider to be quality shows. I try to be, keyword try, to be both informative and entertaining. You know that I'm not going to hold back on my opinions. Every now and then we have a Roberts rant here on the Sports Report, and homerism is definitely not allowed. You get too much of that from the media bobbleheads in your hometowns. But I know that sports fans are extremely passionate, so I'm not going to sit here and lie to you or sugarcoat things. You deserve better than that. You know better than that. So I'll always give you my honest take on the world of sports. Always have, always will. That's not going to change. And if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you know that I don't just turn on the microphone and then start rambling. A lot of time, a lot of research goes into each and every show. I promise you that. I will never mail it in. No UPS specials here on the podcast. Just not my style. I'm more of a Gruden's grinder for those of you who watch Monday Night Football. My family members have a tremendous work ethic, and I think maybe, just maybe, that rubbed off a little bit on me. My brother, my sister, very, very successful. My sister went to Penn. She's an Ivy Leaguer. Enough said there. My brother now works for a very, very successful hedge fund. His bonuses at the quarter pole are more than I make in a year, but he has earned it. Really smart guy, very generous as well. And my mom does more for other people than anyone that I've ever known in my life. She still works full time. She commutes over an hour each way. I've got the utmost respect for hard workers. There are some things in life that we can't control. We're not all going to be 6'5", 225, okay? You know, the size of a lot of these NFL quarterbacks. We're not all able to run a 4.4 40. We're not all able to dunk a basketball or knock down three-pointer after three-pointer after three-pointer. But one thing that we can control, regardless of where our talents lie, is how hard we work. And I know I don't have a big name, but I guarantee that I will work as hard as anybody that you listen to on national TV or national radio or any other podcasts out there. I will guarantee you that. And I like to focus on sports. I think there are too many shows nowadays that spend far too much time on non-sports topics. And I brought this issue up before. They're going on and on and on about pop culture or their own personal lives. And I think the true sports fan has lost. It's unfortunate, but I do believe that's the case. A quick story. I had a professor at Syracuse, the SI Newhouse School, which is the only reason I went up to the Cuse, because I hate winter, I hate snow, and you saw that lake effect snow in Buffalo a couple weeks ago. All right, well, Syracuse gets that as well. But I went there for the journalism school, one of the best in the entire country. And I remember this professor, first day of class, he said, "If you think that you are the story, you should walk out that door right now." He said, "It's not about you. You may be behind the microphone or you may be on camera, but it is not about you. It's about the people that you're covering. Their story is what matters, not yours." And in the world of sports, that's talking about the players, the coaches, front office personnel, the people involved with these teams. It's about them, not about you. I never forget that. I think nowadays there are too many media members who do think that it's all about them. And they say ridiculous stuff just to get attention. And then 24 hours later, they're on to something else. What they said or did yesterday doesn't matter at all. They stir the pot simply to get noticed. That's all. It's about them. And that's not what journalism or talk radio or podcast should be about. Not my opinion. But it's that type of industry now. It's a shame, but it's true. So thanks to all of you who have been loyal listeners, East Coast, West Coast, overseas. I appreciate it very, very much. Thanks to those who respond on Twitter. Keep it coming. I'm at the Sports RPT. That's my handle on Twitter again, the Sports RPT. Thanks to all of you who write those great 5-star reviews on iTunes. You guys are awesome. That really helps to promote the show. So I'm not going to do anything special today because this is episode number 500. Some of my friends were asking me, "So what are you going to do for number 500? I know you guys want to hear about sports and not about me, and that's how it should be. Believe me, I understand that. That's what this podcast has been all about. I'm just going to keep plugging away. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, do we have some crazy NFL games to get to. But while I'm thanking people, I should thank our longtime sponsor, and they are bringing you today's show, number 500, and that is iHome. iHome has been with this podcast for many, many years, and I appreciate that. And iHome has introduced its Zenergy line of products. They feature sound and light therapy technology, which will help you fall asleep and wake up energized and ready to go. And I know that's something that is important to each and every one of you. These new iHome products have soothing sounds from nature and white noise that are designed to help your mind and your body relax. They also include specially designed light therapy programs which promote sleep and increase your energy during the day. Dr. Michael Bruce is known as the sleep doctor, and he recommends these new iHome products. He is the most trusted authority on sleep in the entire nation. So go to the website, iHomeAudio.com. Take a look at the Zenergy line of products. And if you enter the code SPORTS, you'll get a 25% discount off of your purchase. Once again, enter the code SPORTS. You get 25% off. Really, really cool. Look at the bedside sleep therapy machine and the portable sleep therapy speaker. If you have trouble sleeping, these could help. iHomeAudio.com. All right, let's get going here with the NFL big segment on the way. We've had so many superstar players get injured this season. It's just been awful. And early in the second quarter, Antonio Brown suffers a calf injury. He reportedly is done for the regular season. It's a partially torn calf. He was taken to the hospital yesterday. Now, they're hoping that he's going to be back for the playoffs, and it would be nice if Pittsburgh can get a bye. That'll give him an extra week there to get ready. But we all know Antonio Brown's one of the elite wide receivers in the league. He's over 100 catches this season, 1,500 yards, 9 touchdowns. Some people include him in the conversation for MVP. Plus, Pittsburgh is without Ryan Shazier at linebacker, who was in attendance on Sunday. That was terrific to see, and what an ovation for Ryan Shazier. He's waving the terrible towel up there. That was great to see. It was already going to be difficult for Pittsburgh to beat New England, but now you're without Shazier. You lose Antonio Brown early in the second quarter. That is tough to overcome. To the Steelers' credit, they were up 24-16 in the fourth quarter, and the lead was still at 5 when Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski went to work late. Two future Hall of Fame players. How about a 77-yard touchdown drive that took 5 plays? That's it. 5 plays, 1 minute and 10 seconds, and they're in the end zone. Brady went to Gronk time and time again on that drive. How in the world isn't he bracketed in coverage? I mean, that is atrocious coaching. That is completely inexcusable. You don't let the other team's best weapon beat you. That is Robert's rule number one. Make somebody else beat you. It cannot be Gronk. And Pittsburgh let that happen. I mean, how you single him up. I mean, you're asking to lose when you do that against a player with the ability of Gronk, with the size that he has. You have to double him or bracket him there. Deion Lewis ended up capping that drive with an 8-yard touchdown run off left tackle that looked really, really easy. And Brady then went back to who else? You guessed it, Gronk, for the 2-point conversion pass. So now the Patriots lead 27-24, 1 minute to go. Gronk, by the way, 9 catches, 168 yards. Whew. He just abused Sean Davis, the safety, who also failed to come up with an interception on that New England touchdown drive. Now, in fairness, Davis needed help with Gronk and got none. So I put that on the scheme and the coaches, not on Sean Davis. Pittsburgh kept fighting, and Ben Roethlisberger threw a short pass to Juju Smith-Schuster. He turns it up the left sideline, and next thing you know, he's got 69 yards all the way down to the 10. What? Horrendous tackling by the Patriots there. And with 30 seconds left, the play everybody is talking about. Big Ben to Jesse James, the tight end, over the middle for what appeared to be the go-ahead touchdown. But, and this is a fat Albert-sized but, if there ever was one, after review, the ruling was changed to incomplete. And after I saw the slow-mo replay, I told my friends that they're going to overturn this. And my friends thought I was nuts. We're all texting back and forth during all the games. And I said, listen, guys, this is going to be incomplete. And some of them said, you're crazy. To all of us, it looked like a catch, right? However, I know that the rule states when you are going to the ground, the receiver must maintain control of the ball throughout the entire process of the catch. And that includes when you hit the ground. I've seen this too many times. I knew it was coming. And sure enough, that touchdown got wiped off the board. Twitter then goes bonkers. I'm surprised it did not crash because people were furious. It was one complaint after another, ripping the rule, ripping the NFL by the letter of the law. And I don't make the rules. I'm just telling you what it is. That is the correct call. It doesn't mean I like it because I don't. I'm just telling you that is the rule. So I was not surprised whatsoever when that thing got overturned because you saw when he hit the ground that he bobbled it there. Big Ben then decides to try and be Dan Marino, fake a spike, and throw a slant to Eli Rogers. It is tipped by Eric Rowe and picked off by Daron Harmon. Ball game. No field goal attempt. Patriots win 27-24 in a shocker. Couple of key points here. Number one, Steelers should have run one more play like they did. You had time to throw it in the end zone. You have a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback who's won you a lot of games and who had played very well up until that point. I've heard some people say, oh, well, they should have just spiked it there and kicked the field goal. Wrong. You had time. You have Big Ben. You should have run a play before kicking the field goal. That wasn't the mistake. You go for the win. The mistake was, and the issue I had, was the play. Why run a fake spike with only one wide receiver in the pattern? And then the double whammy, why throw it into traffic when Eli Rogers clearly was not open? That's not Antonio Brown out there. That's Eli Rogers out there. And the Patriots aren't suckers. They weren't fooled by the fake spike. So that's on Big Ben. Nobody else is at fault there. If he's covered, you got to throw that thing away. And then you kick the field goal and you go to overtime. He should have known better. So I don't have a problem with running a play, but I had a problem with A, the fake spike, and B, if it's not there, chuck it out of bounds, kick the field goal, go to overtime. Pretty simple. And don't forget that the Steelers were in this spot because they let Gronk go one-on-one and catch three critical passes, which led to a go-ahead touchdown. That cannot happen. Tom Brady owns Pittsburgh, 11-2 all time, 3-0 in the playoffs. He threw for 298, one touchdown, did have one interception. A Roethlisberger, 22 of 30. Like I said, this guy was on point up until that pick. 281 yards, two touchdowns. Both these teams are now 11-3. New England obviously has the inside track to the number one seed. So this was a huge win for the Patriots, and what a finish. They're going to be talking about this game for a long time. Your thoughts are welcome on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT. If you want to talk about the overturn, the rule, you want to talk about what Big Ben did with the fake spike, let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Moving on here on episode number 500. Feels good to say that. 500 of the Sports Report podcast. Let's go to Oakland. Another bizarre ending. Dallas and the Raiders, prime time. Both teams had to win this game. Cowboys were 7-6 going in. Raiders 6-7 in that AFC West, which, you know, makes you wonder, does anybody want to win that? So they're tied at 17 in the fourth quarter. Jason Garrett rolls the dice, went for it on 4th and 1 from his own 39 with 5 minutes left. Dak Prescott got stuffed. The referee who's been around the block, Gene Steratore, he wasn't sure if he got the first down even after the chains were brought out to measure. So he actually pulls out an index card and tries to slide the index card between the nose of the football and the end of the chain. He ruled it first down. I don't think any of us have ever seen that before. Prescott then heaves a 40-yard pass down the right sideline to Dez Bryant, but Dallas had to settle for a field goal, 20-17, 1:44 remaining. Plenty of time for the Raiders. Oakland has 4th and 10. Derek Carr just launches a deep ball. Jordan Lewis called for pass interference. Good call. 43-yard penalty. Oakland in business again. Remember, that was 4th and 10. If there's no flag, if that's just an incompletion, it's over. Now, they're in the red zone. 3rd and 3. 30 seconds to go. Carr scrambles to his right. Reaches the ball out with his left hand, loses control, and fumbles the football through the end zone for a touchback. You can't make this stuff up. Game over, season over. I can't remember seeing this many touchbacks in one season. And I wonder, and I talked about this on Twitter, I'm at the Sports RPT. I wonder if players honestly know the rule that if you fumble through the end zone, it is a touchback. They are way, way too reckless with the football around the goal line. If you're not sure that you can get into the end zone and you have another down to play with, it's different, obviously, if we're talking about a fourth down play. Then it's do or die. But if it's, you know, first down, second down, third down, you know you have another play. Protect the freaking ball, please. Oh, that is one of Paul's pet peeves right there. If Carr doesn't fumble that, Oakland could have kicked a field goal. We're tied. You're going to overtime. What a brutal way to end a game and a brutal season for the Raiders. They are done now. They're 6-8, and they have to go to Philadelphia. That is a tough one to swallow right there. So another thrilling finish. Dallas 8-6 with Ezekiel Elliott returning. Carolina or New Orleans will likely win the NFC South. Panthers host the Bucs and then have to go to Atlanta. The Saints host the Falcons and travel to Tampa Bay. So of those two, I like the schedule for New Orleans better because they have Atlanta at home. But Carolina needs just one more win to reach 11. And then that means all these 8-6 teams like Dallas, Detroit, and Seattle cannot catch the Carolina Panthers. So you have a bunch of teams, including Dallas, fighting for only one wild card spot. Back to Carolina. They beat the Packers 31-24. I thought there were far too many media bobbleheads assuming that Aaron Rodgers comes back, Green Bay wins out, gets into playoffs, and everything's hunky-dory. Not me. If you listened to last week's podcast, I said, hey, let's take a look at the Packers' schedule here before we all start doing cartwheels and jumping jacks now that Aaron Rodgers is back. At Carolina, home against a very good Minnesota team with a lights-out defense, and then at Detroit. Three teams with winning records, two of the three on the road. I said, there's a better chance Green Bay loses out than wins out. I didn't think they would lose out, but there was a better chance of them losing out than winning out. I guess other talk show hosts were too busy to actually spend the time to look up a schedule. I guess that was too time consuming because people weren't talking about that. It was just all about Aaron Rodgers coming back and, you know, now Green Bay can make the playoffs. Time out here. Hit the brakes a little bit. Now at 7-7, they are finished. Rodgers passed for 290 yards, three scores, but he also had three interceptions. Green Bay did get within seven after a 24-yard TD pass from Rodgers to Rodgers, Aaron to Richard, 2:45 to go. The Packers recovered the onside kick, but Geronimo Allison fumbled the ball at the 28 with 1:48 to go. One of four turnovers for Green Bay, none for Carolina. I mean, really, it's amazing that this was a one-score game when you look at those turnovers. Carolina plus four. Usually that means it's a blowout. Cam Newton, another good game, 242, four touchdown passes. He also ran for 58 yards on 14 carries. That is a bit much for me. I mean, he is their franchise player at the marquee position. 14 carries. Whew. By the way, did you see the Ravens? And we'll get to Baltimore in a second. The Ravens calling design runs with Joe Flacco? What? I mean, did you not see the hit that guy took against the Miami Dolphins? Plus, it's not like we're talking about Carl Lewis here. I mean, geez, what was that about with Baltimore? All right, Saints stayed even with the Panthers thanks to a closer-than-expected win over the Jets, 31-19. New Orleans was favored by 17. I mean, rarely do you see lines like that in the NFL. Mark Ingram breaks off a 50-yard touchdown run with a minute and a half to go to make this seem more lopsided than it was. The Saints had three turnovers, which helped to keep the Jets in the game. The Jets are 5-9. Minnesota Vikings are the Kings of the North. Little Game of Thrones reference there. Minnesota hammered Cincinnati 34-7. Ugh. Before kickoff, a report came out from ESPN that Marvin Lewis would not return next year as head coach. And the Bengals then proceeded to get taken behind the woodshed. I mean, I know their defense was decimated by injuries, but that display was a joke. Cincinnati, 8 first downs, 161 total yards. Embarrassing. Case Keenum, he just keeps on rolling. He was sharp. 20-23, almost perfect. Two touchdowns, 236 yards, and then a great moment in this game. Teddy Bridgewater enters at quarterback. I know he threw an interception. Who cares? Not me. I mean, this guy has been out for 16 months, had a horrific knee injury, and is able to get back on the field at the NFL level. So the Vikings fans really gave him a well-deserved ovation. That was one of the great moments from Sunday. Vikings roll 34-7 over the Bengals. Vikings 11-3, still one game behind Philly for the best record in the NFC. Eagles beat the Giants 34-29. Another game, I think, closer than people thought. Eagles do clinch a bye in the playoffs. Nick Foles made his first start for the injured Carson Wentz. And if you thought Doug Peterson was going to come out and run the football over and over and over again, he did not. I mean, they were throwing it early and often. Foles has been a starter before, veteran player, had that gigantic year in 2013 under Chip Kelly, 27 touchdowns, just two interceptions. So Doug Peterson said, hey, we're going to throw the football. He was 24-38, 237 yards, four touchdowns. Not a bad season debut for Nick Foles as the starter. Nelson Aguilar, who should be a finalist for Comeback Player of the Year, seven catches, a team-high 59 yards and a score. Zach Ertz, Trey Burton, a couple of tight ends, had touchdown catches. Alshon Jeffrey had another touchdown catch. Eagles also really clever with their celebration. They had one alley-oop type of play, and they had another where they were warming up their hands like they were around a campfire. Pretty cool if you get a chance to Google those and look up those celebrations. I think, you know, league-wide, the celebrations have been really, really good. Philly was actually down in this game 20-7 in the second quarter, but the Eagles were able to block a punt, block a field goal, and block an extra point. I mean, how would you like to be the Giants special teams coach today? Block punt, field goal, and extra point? I mean, that cannot happen. 3 in 1 game. Eli Manning threw an incomplete pass. Giants still had a chance to win this. They got down inside the 10, and then a penalty put them at the 11. And then Eli was looking for Evan Engram, their rookie tight end, who can also play some wide receivers. Quite a specimen. They're looking for him in the back of the end zone. Broken up. No penalty flag was thrown. Giants were complaining about that. That was from the 11-yard line with less than a minute to go. And that pretty much iced it. But Eli Manning had a field day. 434 yards. That's a season high. 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. So if the Eagles do have a weakness, and I go back to the start of the season when I was looking at this team, and of course, I'm about an hour from Philly. My radio station carries the Eagles. We have for many, many years. So I pay very close attention to the Eagles. And their corners, not the safeties, but their corners are suspect. Jalen Mills is a penalty waiting to happen. He's way too aggressive. He's got his hands all over receivers, holding, clutching, grabbing. You just can't do that anymore. So, you know, if they go up against a team like the Saints with Drew Brees, you know, I wonder what he'll be able to do against these corners. But they are 12-2, and it's, you know, been quite a turnaround from all those 7-9 seasons. So I do give him credit for that, especially with all the injuries. Losing Jason Peters at left tackle, perennial Pro Bowl player. Losing Jordan Hicks at linebacker. Obviously Wentz now with the ACL. They lost their kicker. They lost their best special teams player. I mean, they've had a lot of injuries, and they're sitting here at 12-2. The Eagles will host the Raiders Christmas night, and if the Eagles win that, they will clinch the number one overall seed. Rams are 10-4, 2 games up on the Seahawks in the West. This was a complete and utter mismatch, the varsity versus the JV. And if you've listened to this show, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried to tell people all season that Seattle is not the same team that they've been in the past. Well, now everybody knows. 42-7 Rams in Seattle. Whew. Todd Gurley rumbled for $152 and 3 scores. He went off in this game. I would not put Gurley in the MVP mix just yet. Only 5 games over 100 rushing yards this season. And believe it or not, this was his first rushing game over 100 yards since October 22nd. So he went 2 months without going over 100 rushing yards. Now, what I like about Gurley is he's a heck of a receiver out of the backfield. So Goff will dump it off to him a lot. This baby was 34-0 at the half. Just total domination. It is the worst loss in Pete Carroll's tenure in Seattle. And he's been head coach for 8 years now. Seattle is at Dallas on Sunday. That is an elimination game right there. A couple 8-6 teams. That is a big one coming up this weekend. If you enjoy routes, Jacksonville-Houston was also right up your alley. 45-7 Jaguars. They are playoff bound for the first time in a decade. Congratulations to Jacksonville. TJ Yates, 12 of 31, 128 yards, a QBR of 2.3. Not 32.3 or 52.3. 2.3 was his QBR against that Jacksonville defense. They have won 7 of 8. And even with some key injuries on offense, including no Leonard Fournette in this game, the Jags still put up 45 points. Blake Bortles is on fire, 21-29, 326, 3 touchdowns, and they are now 10-4. They're 2 games up on Tennessee. The Titans look more like pawns right now. They fell at San Francisco 25-23 on a 45-yard field goal by Robbie Gould as time expired. He's having a heck of a season and continues to remind the Bears that they let him go. Jimmy G at it again. He is energized, 49ers fans. Jimmy Garoppolo, 31-43, a career high, 381 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions. This dude can play. 49ers have won 3 in a row. The Titans, meanwhile, have lost 3 out of 5. And guess what? They have the Rams and the Jaguars coming up next. Ouch. Not a favorable schedule for Tennessee. Buffalo got to 8-6, same record as Tennessee and Baltimore, with a 24-16 victory over Miami. 3 picks for Jay Cutler. The last by Tre'Davious White with 28 seconds to go. LeSean McCoy scored twice. Shady went over 10,000 rushing yards for his career. I've been watching this guy since high school. He's from the Harrisburg area. Went to the same high school, Bishop McDevitt, as Ricky Waters, former Notre Dame star, and played a while in the NFL. So LeSean McCoy, now one of 30 players to do that, to get to 10,000 rushing yards. The Bills must go to New England in week 16. That is going to be tough. Meanwhile, the Ravens host the 3-win Colts on Saturday. They should win that. That would get Baltimore to 9. Ravens beat the Browns 27-10 on Sunday. Cleveland 0-14. Baltimore continues to force a lot of turnovers. I don't necessarily think Baltimore's a great team, but you know it's all about turnovers. It's the most important stat. They recovered a fumble by DeShone Kizer in the end zone in the third quarter, and that put them up 24-10. And with Cleveland's offense, it was over there. Baltimore's in good shape now. Indy and then Cincinnati left to play. So I think the Ravens will be one of the 2 wild cards coming out of the AFC. That only leaves 1 spot. Finally, Washington took down Arizona 20-15. West Coast squads coming east for 1 o'clock starts is bad, bad news. Both these teams now 6-8. So your thoughts on another thrilling weekend in the NFL. Particularly want to get your take on the Patriots-Steelers game and then also Cowboys-Raiders. Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. I'm at TheSportsRPT. Just go to iTunes and go to the podcast section. Type in The Sports Report with Paul Roberts. The show will come up. We'd love to see the 5-star reviews there. I am not going to waste your time or my time talking about meaningless college bowl games. I'm just not going to do it. And I have watched some just because I'm a sports junkie. I watched Oregon-Boise State, and the Ducks were a no-show. I mean, total no-show in the Las Vegas Bowl. It was 38-28, but trust me, the game was not that close. Oregon got a couple defensive touchdowns that got him back in the game in the first half. One of them came on Boise's patented Statue of Liberty play, which backfired. They fumbled, and it was taken back to the house for a score. And then there was a pick six of 101 yards. Oregon did not even get past midfield offensively until the third quarter. That's how bad it was. That's part of the deal when you try to pick bowl games. Figure out who actually wants to be there. Who actually gives a rat's behind. And I think it was pretty evident that Oregon did not really care. I don't want to take anything away from Boise State. It's a nice win for their program over a team from a power conference. But that's a lot of what the college football bowl season has become. I was shocked. Even Kirk Herbstreit, Mr. College Football, was talking about it during the broadcast, how it looked like one team wanted to be here and one team did not. But when you have all these bowl games and you have teams that, you know, really have cashed in their chips, this is going to happen. So hopefully we'll get some better bowl games coming up. Once again, this has been episode number 500. How about them apples of the Sports Report podcast? It's been a blast. Thanks again to Clayton and Jim for all their help with the show over the years. Thanks to all of you listeners, everybody on Twitter who follows me. Please tell your friends, your family members, your coworkers, your buddies, if they like sports, give the show a try. We're with you every Monday, 30 to 40 minutes, fast-paced, high-energy, opinionated sports talk with plenty of information as well. I will talk to you again next Monday, which is Christmas. So have a great Christmas, everybody. Remember the reason for the season and forget about all the presents and everything that's on the periphery when it comes to Christmas and focus on what really matters. So Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to all of you. Once again, this has been episode number 500 of the Sports Report podcast. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv.